In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. In John's Gospel, Jerusalem has been a hotbed for conflict for Jesus. Early in the Gospel, he had gone to Jerusalem for the first time, and there he had cleared the temple out of anyone who was buying and selling, and quickly had gotten himself in trouble as he shut down the sacrificial system there. The leaders and authorities, you might imagine, were furious with Jesus. Then, when Jesus had gone back to Jerusalem the second time in his ministry, he had encountered a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus healed him. But Jesus did this on a Sabbath day, the day you're not supposed to work, according to the people of Israel. This angered the authorities again. So Jesus had left Jerusalem that time and went out into the fields, and there he had fed crowds of thousands and preached to them. But then Jesus decided to go back to Jerusalem again, this time for a festival, and he found himself in a verbal conflict with these authorities that were angry with him. They were angry with him, wanting to confront him about this healing that he had previously done on the Sabbath in their sacred town. They wanted to argue with him about why he wasn't obeying the authority of Moses, the most important figure in their faith, according to them. And they got into conflict and arguments over who are the true children of Abraham. And Jesus had told them, "You're not really children of Abraham, you're children of the devil." And finally, they got into conflict over who was free and who was a slave. Jesus told them they were slaves. They said, "No, we've never been slaves. We've always been free." But Jesus insisted they were slaves. Following this, they had tried to stone Jesus there in Jerusalem. And so he escaped and ran out of the temple. It is here that our story picks up for today. Jesus is still in Jerusalem from this festival where he has been arguing with these leaders and authorities over these issues. And Jesus goes out of the temple, escaping their stoning, and as he goes, he encounters a man who has been born blind. His disciples see this man blind from birth. He's never seen, his eyes have never worked. And his disciples have an interesting academic question for Jesus. "So Jesus, this man, what caused this terrible situation, this blindness from birth? Did his parents sin and he's just suffering for their sin? Or did he sin in the womb or something so that he was born blind?" The disciples, as the culture of their world and as the culture of our world still likes to do, wanted to assign blame. If something has gone wrong, if something is not right, we must find somebody, something to blame. Jesus, however, ignores this blame game altogether and says, "Neither. It's not his parents' fault that he's blind. It's not his fault that he's blind, but God is going to use this moment to show his glory through this man that you think is broken and worthless and a sinner." Jesus then spits saliva out of his mouth into the ground. Jesus' word, his mouth, has been a source of life throughout the gospel. He spits into the ground, and Jesus gets down and starts making mud. Notice this image. Remember in Genesis, God forming mankind for the first time out of the clay. Jesus working in the mud with the saliva from his mouth that has been bringing life. So Jesus works this mud together and he puts it on the man's eyes and he gives the man a command. Go and wash. Now, if somebody just put mud on your eyes, you might think, of course, I'm going to go wash my face. But it's truly powerful of what causes this man to find healing. The word of Jesus tells him to do something. Go and wash. The man obeys the word of Jesus, and he goes. He washes this mud, this new creation mixture that Jesus had put on his face, washes it off, and lo and behold, the man who could never see ever before in his life can see. He has been healed. Sight has come to him. So this man starts walking around, as you might imagine, marveling at this new sight that he has. And people see him and start asking him, whoa, are you that guy who was the beggar his whole life who was blind? You're walking around and you're seeing. What happened to you? Who did this to you? Some guy, Jesus, is his response. Where is he? I don't know. He told me to go, and so I left him, and I washed my face, and I don't know where he is now. The leaders of the people that have just been arguing with Jesus for the last few chapters get wind of this very quickly. And as you might imagine, what day is it? The Sabbath, again. The leaders find this man and they put him to the question about why he would do work on the Sabbath. Why would you do this? Well, the man who was able to give me sight told me to do it, so I did it. The leaders insist this Jesus can't be from God if he's telling people to work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath law is sacred. If you do work on the Sabbath, Moses said you have to die. But this man who was blind, who now can see, tells the authorities, I don't know. No one's ever been made to see after they've been blind their entire life. No one in the history of the world has ever had this happen to them. And I was blind and now I can see? I'm pretty sure this guy's from God. I don't care what you say. The authorities, wanting to get a hold of Jesus, wanting to turn this into an issue, call this guy's parents in. And they start questioning his parents. The parents are terrified of these leaders because these leaders are the authority in their world and have the power to kick them out of the religious, the economic, the social centers of their world. In their fear, the parents, under the question, say, we don't know. Go talk to our son. He's old enough. Don't ask us. Ask him. And so the parents point them back to the son. The man is then called in again by these authorities. Frustrated that he keeps getting questioned over the same issue, he says to them, look, all I know is I was blind, and now I see. What else is there? Look, I already told you the whole story. There's nothing I left out. You just don't want to listen to what I have to say. You know, it sounds like to me, you leaders, that maybe you want to become a disciple of this Jesus. You're really interested in him, aren't you? Insulted by this, these leaders say, no, we follow Moses. And the man insists again. We've never seen anything like this before. I was blind, now I can see. This man is from God. Finally dismissed from the grilling and the questioning of these authorities, this man goes on. And he encounters a Jesus again in Jerusalem. He finds him. And Jesus sits down and talks with him. Jesus tells this man and those listening, I came into the world so that the blind would be able to see. But also, Jesus tells them, I came into the world so that those who think they can see will be made blind. The leaders, since they can't seem to stop following this guy around, show up listening to this. And they butt themselves into the conversation and say, hey, we aren't blind, Jesus. Are you implying that we're blind? And Jesus responds to them, because you think you are able to see, you are indeed blind, and you are stuck in your sin. Blindness and sight. One of the most important themes in Jesus' ministry in all the Gospels, and very central here in John's Gospel. Who can truly see? Is one of the most important questions that Jesus challenges us with. Who's really blind? And who really has true sight? This man, who had been physically blind his entire life, heard the command of Jesus and had the sight to see it for what it was, and he obeyed it. Even though he was physically blind, he was able to truly see Jesus for who he was. And Jesus made that spiritual sight that he had a physical reality as he opened his eyes. These leaders, these authorities that have been challenging and harassing Jesus for the entire gospel, however, run around with their eyes wide open, thinking they understand the world. They can see what's true. They know what's real. They know how to navigate life. They think they can see. But when they encounter Jesus, the one from God who comes speaking his word of life, do the authorities have the eyes to see Jesus for who he is? No. They're the ones who are truly blind. Jesus stands right in front of them, speaking the word of true life to them, and they don't get it. They're oblivious, lost in their own plans and systems, blinded to the reality of God staring them in the face. Who is blind and who can see? Are we blind or can we see? Jesus tells us that he has come into the world in order to blind those who think they can see. Do we think that we have life figured out? Do we think our wisdom is true sight? Do we think that we can discern what is right and wrong in the world? Do we think we know what is good and evil? Do we think we know what is up and down? Do we trust this sight, this wisdom, this human power that we think we have? Jesus says, if we are people such as this, who think we have it figured out and think we have the sight to navigate life, he says, no, you're really blind. You can't see anything. Your agendas, your world and its responsibilities and everything that you think you have figured out is just a giant obstacle blinding you to the reality of God's truth and word coming to you. He says, but those who know that they are blind, he says, I have come into the world to give them true sight. Those who realize their agendas, their plans, their systems, their wisdom is futile. They realize they cannot navigate life on their own. These who realize that they're blind, who look for someone else to give them sight, God Himself, these are the ones that Jesus has come to give true sight. So may we recognize our blindness. We don't know any better. We don't know what's best. We don't know what's right or wrong. We don't know what's good or evil. We don't know what's best for our world. And in admitting that blindness, let us turn to the word of Jesus so he may tell us where to go, what to do, and through that, we will truly see. Amen.